welcome to episode 3 of My Bloody Horrorcast.
This is Steph and Carrie.
Yep. We're back to talk about movies, horror films, thriller films that we love. And this week, it's kind of fun. We weren't exactly sure what we were going to do right away because we have some other episodes we kind of want to save for later time, parts of the year. And we decided to focus on the Shaw Brothers horror films of the 70s, the great Chinese crazy horror.
Super bizarre Hong Kong horror oddities.
Yes. So we had a lot of fun watching a couple films this week. There are 3 films we watched in total. I did not get to watch one of those, so...
That's okay. You watched the 2 best ones, Black Magic and The Boxer's Omen.
Yes. Otherwise, or known as Mo.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get to see Human Lanterns, so Steph, you'll have to inform everyone about that. I had a blast. We watched Black Magic together, had a new movie viewing of that last week.
Oh, but before we jump into that, do you want to run through some movies you watched recently?
Let's do it. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Do you want to go first? I watched a ton, but I wanted to scale it down to just a few.
Okay, all right, I have to search for my list here real quick.
Okay, I'll go first.
You got one? Okay.
So, it's actually been a while since we've met up, but in that time, yes. I'd watched The Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix, the TV show with Drew Barrymore is sort of a zombie, Timothy Olyphant is her, freakishly supportive husband. He just totally accepts that she's eating people and they get on with it. It's really fun. I binge watched the whole thing and I would recommend it. There are a lot of super gross gags, lots of suburban humor, but at the same time, a lot of the details are already fading for me. So it's enjoyable, but maybe not one that stays with you.
How many episodes is it?
I don't remember. I want to say it's a standard 12 or 13 is what Netflix usually does.
That's
doable. They're pretty short episodes. They move fast.
Nice.
I watched Elle, which Cine in Athens got to show a little bit ago. It's more of a drama mystery than a horror, but it's popped up in several horror-related conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It totally deserves all the praise it's gotten, especially for Isabelle Huppert's performance. She is incredible. The movie's really intense, troubling. It addresses rape like no other movie I've seen. I took it as a story about a strong, assertive woman surrounded by men who are either, like, total monster garbage people or just useless babies, but I loved it. I thought it was great.
And... So, a feminist Paul Verhoeven film.
Which
he and his films have not always been that way, but that's cool. That's good.
I also saw Kong Skull Island. I have to admit, I have never seen the Fay Wray original.
Ooh.
I know, I've seen like some important scenes, but I grew up 1970s with the Jessica Lange movie. Like, I saw that, and I've never seen the original. But I liked this one. I thought it was fun. It corrects everything that wasn't there in 2014's Godzilla. It's just monsters beginning to end, so I would recommend that too. It's great.
What'd you think compared to Peter Jackson's King Kong?
Oh, I can't believe I didn't think about that. Yes, I definitely thought this was more fun than that was.
Was it? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jackson's movie was... his King Kong was fun. It wasn't great. I don't think we'll look at his King Kong as a masterpiece over time, you know, or anything like that.
It had all the elements of a great epic, but... and, you know, great acting, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't enjoy it. I only watched it once, so...
Same.
I'd watch Skull Island again before that, I think.
Yeah.
It's
John C. Reilly, too. Like, I love that guy.
Oh, he's the best part of a very good ensemble cast. I also watched I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. Did you get to see that one?
No,
the
but I've
Layer
been
movie?
Reading a lot about it. And so it's on my list of very soon-to-see films.
Also, maybe not exactly a horror movie, more of a dark comedy thriller, but since we're both big fans of Jeremy Saulnier's movies Blue Rune and Green Room, I was really excited to see, you know, a Macon Blair movie.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie Lynskey is awesome, and Elijah Wood's really funny. There were some moments in this that were so shocking, like sometimes I laughed at parts that were funny, and other times I just laughed out of, like, sheer surprise, so
nice.
It's pretty great. I also saw Psycho 3 for the first time.
Yes.
I totally recommend this. It's incredible. Anthony Perkins is still Norman Bates, except it's way later. He falls in love with a suicidal nun. It's really fun. And I just really think he was made to be Norman Bates. I know he had to carry that character forever, but he's chilling but sympathetic. I think he did a good job directing, too. As far as I know, this was his directorial debut.
Yes, and, you know, when you put it in perspective, he played that character for almost 30 years.
A long time, yeah.
Because Psycho 4 would have been in the 90s, I think, at some point.
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, he passed away in the early 90s, didn't he? So.
He did Psycho 4, and I think that was one of the last things he actually did. But, yeah, I mean, pretty incredible, pretty enduring role.
And I've got two more I'm going to try to get through really fast. So, speaking of another lonely psycho, I finally saw The Eyes of My Mother. I'm not sure I loved it quite as much as you did, but the styling of that film is beautiful. I really dug the black and white, the minimal dialogue. That lead actress is awesome. Like, she's scary, she's sad, she's very sympathetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the last movie I watched was part of Klon's monthly Athens Ghastly Horror Society. It's called Poor Pretty Eddie from 1975, a.k.a. Black Vengeance, a.k.a. Redneck County, a.k.a. Redneck County Rape. When I first saw this, I was very upset and I hated every minute of it. But now that I've had a little bit of time to think about it, I'm glad I saw it. Just a one and done for me. Don't need to see that again. Every scene involving a dog or this main character was very upsetting. Trigger warning for all the things. In my mind, I thought it was going to be a rape revenge movie, but there's really not a satisfying end to it in that way. But it is very memorable. Do not need to see it again.
Right. Yeah, I had to leave before that, unfortunately. So, it was after our...
Or fortunately.
Or maybe fortunately. Yeah, it was after our monthly trivia, which, interestingly enough, we had that King Kong question.
That's right.
Yep. What we thought was Lost World turned out to be King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I saw a couple. A lot of movies that I saw this month were for a forthcoming podcast we'll be doing in the future. But so taking those out, I guess three main ones. I saw The Devils, and this is an unpaid endorsement of Shudder. Shudder put out a beautiful, beautiful copy of The Devils. It looks
hands
fantastic.
Down, my favorite Ken Russell and Oliver Reed movie.
It's so great. I had never seen it in its entirety. I'd seen a crappy part of a more censored VHS copy back in the day, and it looks beautiful. It really does.
Yeah, I think if you're not watching a version where the nuns are having, like, a bananas orgy, there's, like, no point to watch it.
No, that's such a crazy scene. The whole movie's insane. Oliver Reed fights a man with a crocodile. He swings a crocodile at him using it as a blunt instrument. I mean, I don't know how much wackier you can get when it comes to crazy nun... evil Catholicism films. Yeah, it's...
I still really want to do an episode on nuns. I'm going to bring it up all the time because Vanessa Redgrave is the hunchback nun. She's really
so good.
Great.
No, you've been on the Nun King. In fact, every time we hang out, every time watching a movie, or every time we talk, literally the nun conversation comes up. And so I think at some point we definitely need to do that. If nothing else, to appease you, Steph, I'm down with doing a nun episode. I have to catch up. I have some catching up to do. And I haven't seen Psycho 3 in a minute, so that will also... I'll have to go back and watch that. I think the last Psycho I saw... It was probably Psycho 2. I caught it on cable one day, and I've always been a big fan of that one, too. The first three really are fun. The remake is garbage.
Yeah.
I couldn't say... I love Gus Van Sant. I love almost everything he's done, but I could not get into
the remake.
Well, isn't
the thing with it is that he was really trying to do, like, his own frame-by-frame...
He was.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting idea, but it's not enjoyable to watch.
It's an interesting idea, yeah, but the execution... is lacking. The other movie I saw is kind of interesting, sort of a little oddity, a very weird subgenre of horror/thriller cinema, the heavy metal horror. It's a movie called The Devil's Candy that came out. Australian director who did it, his name escapes me right this second. And it's starring Ethan Embry. If anyone grew up in the 90s or if you like 90s films, you remember Ethan Embry mm-hmm. from a number of films. One of my favorite roles of his, where he's just the crazy Adderall kid in Empire Records.
Can't Hardly Wait. He's got so many.
And Can't Hardly, I mean, Can't Hardly Wait's probably his most notable performance, I'd say, you know, in a big screen. But yeah, he's great. He's unrecognizable in The Devil's Candy. You wouldn't know it was him unless you had looked ahead of time at the credits or, you know, and you, if you blink, you'll miss it. But he's great. It's a strange little film about basically a man who is possessed and he's more or less a satanic serial killer, if you will. Ethan Embry, meanwhile, is a painter. He's an artist, does a lot of commission work, and their paths intersect throughout the course of this film. Like I said, it's a very strange little film. There's, you know, there's not a whole lot of plot necessarily. There's a lot of great atmosphere, and I really enjoyed it. This director's done some other films, and you know, now I think I want to search out some of the other things he's done. You know, relatively new guy on the scene. But yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely an interesting little movie.
Byrne. Yeah. I've heard nothing but glowing praise. It's definitely on my list of things to see.
Yes. And so that's definitely fun. Let's see here. So, and then the third one that I saw is Zombie Holocaust, aka Dr. Butcher MD, which is one of the greatest titles of any film.
I've heard of this. I've never seen it.
You know, it's it came on the heels of the cannibal, you know, movie craze of the, you know, all the way from the early 70s up until the early 80s. And so it incorporates zombies and cannibals all together, throws it into one big melting pot of weirdness. Some good gore in it. Very, very strange. Lots of, you know, atrocious acting, of course, as, you know, we would expect. You've got characters playing forensic scientists, medical doctors, and it's pretty hilarious that you could ever believe that they would be any of those disciplines. So yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Half of it takes place in the city, half of it takes place on an island, and yeah, there's a lot of parts kind of through the middle of it. You wonder what's happening because the zombies go away and all of a sudden it's villagers fighting each other. And there's even some weird fist fights between different warring tribes. Very strange film. But worthwhile if you're,
that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Also on Shudder, who has been they've just been knocking it out of the park recently with all these great films. I feel like every time I come up with a new film that I've missed, cult film from the 70s or 80s, all of a sudden Shudder is reading my mind and they're throwing it up on their site, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, so there's our viewing of this past month. Now let's get into the Shaw Brothers.
All right. So I have to admit, I've seen kind of iconic scenes from Shaw Brothers movies, like from 36 Chambers of Shaolin, stuff like that, but I don't think I've ever watched one of their kung fu movies all the way through. I feel really bad about it, but what I have seen I think is great.
They're great. I mean, you think about their impact on pop culture, you know, the resurgence of, you know, martial arts films in the mid to late 90s that also kind of went hand in hand with you know, some genres of hip-hop, of course, the 90s, mm-hmm. Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, huge influence, I mean, on the Shaw Brothers, Enter the 36 Chambers, yep. And just all, you know, a lot of those films. And it really brought back, I think, or gave a resurgence to the Shaw Brothers' career. They were basically out of production at that point. I think they stopped producing films in the early 80s. I know Run Me Shaw died in the early 80s. I'm not exactly sure if Run, how long after he continued. But the Shaw Brothers together produced 265 films from the 50s through the 80s. Ugh. It's incredibly prolific.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then again, their impact on pop culture, I mean, it's pretty impressive, really, when you think about it. And I'm glad that they got their due, even though it may have been after they passed away. So, of course, they were known for action movies, and they were known for martial arts movies, and that's probably that was their bread and butter. But they did some really great, bizarre, crazy-ass horror films in the 70s and 80s. And started in about 74, I think, was the first true horror film they did, and it went into the early 80s. And so there's a lot to take in. A lot of it's also, there are a number that are unreleased that you can't find, but now my mission is to find all these films.
Yeah. Well, the three that I watched, two of them Carrie also watched, they're just, like, nothing I've ever seen before.
Nope.
I wouldn't even know what to put them with, like, if we were trying to pair them with other movies, except for other, like, batshit insane Shaw horror movies.
Yeah. So the first one, Black Magic.
1975.
As we both kind of mentioned before, it's hard to really give these a brief synopsis because there's so much weird stuff happening, but basically, it's about people who decide that they to get what they want by consulting an evil wizard.
It's kind of a weird town because it's this little city, but on the outskirts there's this forest, which are inhabited by a good wizard and a bad wizard.
And everybody in town knows that these wizards exist. It's just kind of expected. I guess it's expected, too, that people are sometimes going to go to the bad wizard to try to get some things done. And somebody may call on the good wizard to, counteract what the bad wizard's doing. Obviously this is just kind of normal, everyday kind of business for everybody. So you've got Ti Lung, who is, I guess, our main character, you could say. He's the construction worker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luo Yin is his sexy boss. and that's really, I guess, how it kind of all starts.
She's like a wealthy widow.
Yeah.
Who really, really has the hots for this guy.
Oh, yeah. It's Cougar Town, and she is,
Is she a cougar, though? She still seems young.
She kind of does as well. I don't know. Yeah, maybe she's not quite cougar age. She will be at some point. Yeah, she decides to consult with the bad wizard, the evil wizard, and try to make Ti Lung fall in love with her.
And murder this man's wife.
That's part of it as well, yep. And then, at the same time, you've got one of her workers, right, who decides that he's in love with her, and so he also consults the bad wizard to make her fall in love with him.
Also, spoiler, the bad wizard sort of falls in love with her.
Yes. So everybody's falling in love with everybody, basically, and they're all going to do literally whatever they have to do to get what they want. It's a dog-eat-dog kind of town. It's a scary town to be in. I would not want to fall in love with anyone from that town, because you don't know what's going to happen.
But I would like the stylish 70s trappings of their homes and outfits.
Oh, man. Her outfits are out of control.
She's a groovy lady.
She really is. She really is. She's hip. She's with it. It's a strange film because, again, half of it is a weird sort of twisted relationship drama. Mm-hmm. And the other half is, like, wizards fighting.
Yes, there are a lot of laser beams. Do we want to talk about some of the things that go into the spells?
I think we have to.
I mean, it starts out kind of normal. You're like, oh, blood and hair, that makes sense for sure. Some sort of evil spell or voodoo or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then it's like rice that has to be put on a lady's vagina. Like,
that was a strange scene. And rubbing it right in there. Just, that's kind of normal, evidently, as well.
Human breast milk for women that should not be naturally lactating.
There was some weird lactation stuff going on in that. Yeah, that was very strange. Neither of those did I see coming at all.
Melons that are filled with maggots. Like, there's just there are some bizarre ingredients in this magical forest.
Yes. one thing, it's hard to find a lot of information about these films, but I would love to know, are these part of the lore, of Chinese magical lore? Or is this literally just all made up for these crazy films?
I've never heard the folktale of vagina rice, Carrie.
No, neither have I. But I still want to know. I'd love to talk to somebody who, there's got to be an aficionado somewhere in the world on these films who knows way far more than us that would like to consult about this and just know, is there any basis in reality for any of the things that happen in Black Magic?
Agreed. It would be interesting.
Yes. Skull laser mirror. That was one of my favorite things in it. All sorts of things happen. People are falling in love. People are getting killed. People, all this crazy stuff. It climaxes with a wizard battle.
on the construction site.
Yes, of T Lung's construction site.
Just the wrong place to be shooting lasers around.
No, it seems incredibly dangerous. The effects in that scene are, as I call them, endearingly awful, with the laser beams flying everywhere. It's pretty great.
I think I just had, like, a smile on my face the whole time, because it's delightful to watch.
It really is. It really is. I mean, anyone who loves cult cinema of any kind, this is real. I think this is a must-see.
I wouldn't call it a bad movie ever, like, either, I mean, because it's not like... Like, the laser effects are cheesy, but the sheer imagination and nuttiness are incredible.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's, because you can't believe exactly what's happening, it keeps you going the whole time. The whole time you are just in wonder of what you're watching.
I will say, though, compared to The Boxer's Omen, Black Magic does have a somewhat linear plot that you can follow and understand.
It happens in the real world. I mean, first of all, we see, you know, it feels like there is an actual, you know, you believe that there is a town with all these wizards and things happening. But yes, you're right, there is a linear plot. And no, Boxer's Omen has, it's an entirely different beast. Wow. Here's also one random... One random little fact about Black Magic. The film's U.S. poster, they replaced the Chinese crew names with American names on the poster.
Oh.
So all of a sudden, T. Lung was Tai Young. Luo Yin was Lily Li. The writer and director instead of Ho Meng Hua was Calvin Martin.
Whoa! That's quite a leap.
And the music was by Ferrara, whoever that is. I don't know who Ferrara is. It's probably not a real person, but so anyway, that's kind of random. Also, you can stream it right now if you have Amazon Prime. It's on there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's great.
So, even more enjoyable to me, again, for the sheer bizarre nuttiness, craziness, was Boxer's Omen.
Oh, 100%. I would recommend... I've been recommending this movie to everybody.
It's one of the strangest films I've ever seen.
I ended up watching it twice, just because there were just so many cuckoo bananas moments, I wanted to make sure I took it all in.
I had actually put my daughter down to nap, mm-hmm. and I realized I had a little bit of time, and I was like, you know what, she's been tired for a long time, I might just be able to sneak this in. So I sat in and I watched Boxer's Omen while she was asleep, and I kept having to get up to check on her, and so I would rewind a little bit. So I watched a lot of it again, you know, a bunch of bits and pieces over and over again, so that was good, actually. It kept me going, because it's hard enough just trying to figure out what the hell's going on watching it once.
I wrote down for the synopsis that it's about... a brother who's avenging a brother who was crippled in a boxing match against a crooked fighter, and he gets mixed up in, like, Buddhist mysticism and all these other things, like evil magicians again, but that really tells you nothing.
No, and it really is kind of the hero's journey. If there's anything that's linear in it, it's that, you know, it takes the Joseph Campbell power of myth. You have that hero's journey. Now, it's the most... freaking bizarre hero's journey I've ever seen, but a hero's journey nonetheless. So, you know, it at least there's, you know, there's some basis in you know, in story, history, and that kind of thing. So also if anyone ever watched the early Van Damme movies, Kickboxer, Bolo Jung is Bubo. He's the bad Thai boxer in Boxer's Omen, which I thought was kind of cool.
He looked familiar, but I didn't know where I'd seen him.
6 years later, he would be in Kickboxer, which is, of course, that's a huge movie, big international success. So, and then Chan Hung, the actor's name is Philip Koh, is our hero who undergoes this bizarre transformation from kind of sleazy guy to Buddhist monk with amazing powers.
I will say, way more than Black Magic, this was not a movie you want to be eating dinner with, because there's some legit disgusting gross out scenes.
I was grossed out a few times. I feel like it takes a lot for me to get grossed out. I absolutely was grossed out. Yes, yes.
I mean, I guess some of the things for the workings of Black Magic in this film include, like, regurgitated food. I mean, you see a lot of maggots. There are
I mean, I have an entire list of the weird things that happened in this
film.
I don't know.
Some things on your list.
You know, I mean, there's too much to really say. I don't want to give it all away, for sure.
But
I mean,
to see it is totally different.
It really is. Yeah, the bat thing was really strange. Lots of bats throughout the film. Bat blood, bats melt. Bat blood also brings bat bones back to life.
Oh, yeah, the bat skeleton was one of my favorite parts.
That was great.
But it's hard to pick a favorite part.
Yes, it really is hard to. You've got spiders that drink green slime. So back to the plot, though. The plot's incredibly convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on because here's the thing. So Chan Hung decides to avenge his brothers. His brother's crippled now after the fight, and so he wants to avenge his brother. And defeat this Thai boxer who's talking tough.
There's really limited boxing after they open that plot.
It's really even hard to call a boxer's open, right? Because there's two scenes of boxing. The second one is maybe like 10 minutes at the most. Mm-hmm. Or no, maybe like 5 minutes. So yeah, basically what he finds out is that in exchange for being able to help his brother, he goes and finds out that in a past life, he was connected to this abbot, this monk. They call him abbot something something. And because of that, if the abbot is killed, our hero will also be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this starts to come into play.
And he's part of this, like, prophecy.
He is. So here's this dude who, again, like I said, the beginning of the film is kind of a sleazy dude. All of a sudden, in 3 months, learns to become a monk. All it takes is 3 months, evidently, to become, you know, a Buddhist monk of the highest order and gain the trust of, you know, the oldest Buddhist societies in Hong Kong or China. So that was strange. And
there's so many bizarre caveats that, too, like where they're questioning him, like, what about your vow of abstinence? Don't lie about it or you will doom both you and this ancient legend monk.
And let me just say, you know, the human condition, the human frailty comes into play throughout later in the film. There's a scene early on where he's in a hotel room and an eel crawls out of his mouth.
Oh, God, that's so gross.
That's the scene where he decides to finally become a monk because he realizes that he is going to die if he doesn't because he's connected to this prophecy. So then he goes through, you know, I almost want there to be a Rocky montage. In the scene where he's, like, sitting in the water with all the leeches, and he's learning to become a monk, and he's learning control, he's learning patience, tolerance, all these things. I really wanted that Rocky music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would have been pretty great.
Yeah, there should have been, like, a really great transition montage.
Right, so I need a montage. No, no, South Park. So the evil wizard also looked like if you had a band that wasn't Kiss, but they had like maybe a cover band, a Kiss cover band. His makeup sort of looked like that to me.
Oh, absolutely. He looked like he should have been in a trauma film.
And if you thought the evil wizard from Black Magic was trouble, the evil wizard from Boxer's Omen, wow. This guy is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. He douses bat skulls in chicken blood. Then crocodile skulls attack the monk. Later on as well.
Mm-hmm.
He eats the entrails of undead bats at one point. An emaciated green alien head attacks somebody.
Yeah.
One of our friends, Andrew, on our Facebook page, if you go to My Bloody Horrorcast on Facebook, you'll see one of our incredibly knowledgeable movie friends, Andrew Shearer, who's a writer for the Athens Banner Herald here in Athens. And has his own podcast as well, which is excellent. He brought this up. He asked about the scene where what movie was the scene where a wizard pulls his own head off. It's this film.
Yeah.
It's Boxer's Omen. And then he shoots his head and uses his entrails from the head. All the little I don't even know what you would call those.
What
things.
Are your head neck entrails called?
I don't know. But he uses them trying to strangle our hero. Mm-hmm. He was now a monk. So,
and the end is just so... I don't know. I just keep saying weird, bizarre, like...
Okay.
Odd, but...
Okay. The zombies cut themselves open at the end. They emerge from the corpse of the lady zombie and then transform into fuzzy walking eyes.
Were they eyes?
I thought they were, but you know, I don't know what they were. That's what I thought, but I mean, who knows? It's hard to tell what anything is.
And I know this is a million spoilers, but it really should be watched to... It has to be seen to believe that this movie got made.
Yes. I mean, nothing... I mean, honestly, yeah. Anything we're telling you now, describing it does nothing. I mean, it will not take away anything from seeing it, because we can't... the impact of watching it cannot be described.
I will say this. We're both very interested in watching more movies by this director. Did you write his name down?
No. We'll pull this back out later. We'll look it up in action in just a second.
Well,
but yeah,
it turns out that this movie, Boxer's Omen, is a sequel to a movie called Bewitched. So I've heard that is less bonkers than this one, but I think we've still got to watch it at some point.
We've got to. Yeah, no, this, I mean, less bonkers is still, like, severely bonkers.
Yeah, 10% bonkers is still crazy.
Yes. Chi-Hung Kwe.
Oh,
is the director.
Okay. Yeah,
he wrote the story as well. Owen Szeto wrote the screenplay, but this guy also wrote the story, so he is the deranged mind as well behind Boxer's Omen, which makes me want to see everything he's done. He also directed Corpse Mania, Hex, which you can find on Amazon Prime as well, and a film that I was really interested in seeing, Killer Snakes, mm-hmm. as well, so, among others. Those are just a few of the ones he directed.
Yeah, they all sound like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, they really, really do. So, yeah, so Boxer's Omen is just absolutely crazy. It's really... But, you know, along with the craziness, there are some actual beautiful scenes. There's a scene where they go down to find a 1,000-year-old magic mushroom inside the earth, but just barely inside the earth. It's just like a few feet down. And it's actually a really cool scene. And kind of irreverent, actually.
I thought there were plenty of incredible scenes. The imagination is really, really impressive. I didn't know that this director had also written it. I hope it was stream of consciousness. He's like, what if this happens? Then this happens. Because it's pretty cool that all this came from one guy's mind.
Yes. I didn't know that you could put a skeleton, remains of a body in a croc carcass... And then open it back up, and a woman comes out. I thought that, you know, and also part of me wonders, you know, is there anything, like, biblically related to this film? You know, I feel like there are references you could almost find in there. I don't know what they are.
The babies that hatch, like,
all these
babies,
they
get all these, like, crocodile or alligator, I don't know which it was, like, eggs coming out of this corpse.
Yes. Well, also, what's great about the movie, too, is you get to see all these locations. So they filmed it in Hong Kong, but they also filmed it in Thailand, and also filmed in Nepal. I thought the Nepalese scenes were really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's a lot of shots when you get into Nepal of the scenery. You know, they want you to know that we're actually in Nepal here.
Well,
so.
There's a big thing that comes up. It's like, Nepal!
Right. I wonder, I was like, I don't know if I trust that, but I think it was correct. Yeah, it's It gets my, I think both of us can say it gets our highest recommendation for just crazy, bizarre horror.
Yes,
if that's what you're
into. I've just been recommending it nonstop. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And just really quick, I'm sorry you didn't get to see Human Lanterns, but I will
I
say, of
I
the
will.
Three.
I'll be talking about next time.
Of the three, it's the least nutty. It's very light on the horror. It's essentially, it's about this lunatic craftsman who pits two noblemen against one another by kidnapping their loved ones and making lanterns out of their skin.
All right.
It's really heavy on the kung fu, pretty light on the skin flame, so take that for what you will. I mean, the fight scenes are really well done, the choreography.
Yeah.
I guess you'd expect no less in a Shaw Brothers movie.
Yeah, right. Very true.
But I wouldn't say it's a horror movie in particular. Oh, I will also say the lunatic is dressed up as this sort of psychedelic monkey, and the glee he has in, like, flame lady skin is, that's pretty great. He also, I notice this in lots of movies, I feel like there's this certain strength that insane, like, psychos have. He's like a gymnast of superhuman strength, but he's just one dude. But anyway.
That's great.
Pretty fun.
I also think it's always interesting. There must be a monkey god, because I see that as a recurring theme. Mm-hmm. I love Chinese cinema. There's either, you know, there's someone who who is either possessed by the spirit of a monkey.
Yeah.
Or there's, you know, there's monkey kung fu. There's
all sorts of Asian stories mm-hmm. and stuff. Certainly not just Hong Kong. But let me know what you think. Maybe you'll think he's just some weird furry beast. I just went with monkey.
I will. But yeah, so you can watch Boxer Zomen on YouTube. There's actually a fairly decent copy on YouTube. To see, like we said, Black Magic, you can see on Amazon, and Human Lanterns is also on Amazon Prime mm-hmm. as well. And one last thing I did mention earlier about films we saw, this is not a true horror film.
That's fine.
But it does, where, you know, it is from, it kind of goes along with our Asian movie theme tonight. It is The Handmaiden.
Oh, Park Chan-wook.
I finally saw it. If I could go back and amend my top films of the year, just general top films, not just horror, just films in general, The Handmaiden would easily make my top 5 or top 10. I thought it was a glorious, gorgeous, fantastic, twisty film, great acting, great sets, great costumes. I mean, I literally couldn't find anything about it I didn't like. It's a long running time. It's a 2.5-hour film.
It's based on a beautiful novel called Fingersmith by Sarah Waters, which right. I love. I love her books. And when I watched it, I sort of wondered how it was going to translate in this adaptation, but moving it to Japanese-occupied Korea, mm-hmm. putting it in the setting, that house, everything about it, the costumes, the two lead actresses, I loved the whole thing.
It's an amazing film. You won't want it to end. You'll want to stay in that world forever. It's full of some, I mean, there's great twists and turns. Now, so the film setting is in 1930s Japan, or Korea. What about the original story?
It's like a Victorian set story.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's kind of similar, but it's, you know, it's British set, so.
Right. But yeah, it's, wow. I've been thinking about it all week since I watched it last week.
I want to watch it again. I forgot it was available to rent now.
Yeah. And that's also, it was on Prime for a minute, but I know it's on Amazon. And actually, I think Netflix is getting it, too.
Very nice.
So, yeah. But yes, all right, so Shaw Brothers films, go out and see them.
Mm-hmm. Or stay in and see them.
If someone you know has a good set to watch them, go to their house. It's great stuff. And again, we'll be watching some more over time. We're going to continue to try to find. Now I'm on a mission again to find some of these unreleased ones and see if we can find some good
copies. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I was really excited about doing this podcast with you. I knew it would get me to watch movies I'd never seen before, like
yes.
The Boxer's Omen.
Yes. So, well, everybody, thanks for listening. This is a wrap-up for episode 3. We will be back in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Next episode. We appreciate you listening, and let us know if you have any thoughts on any of the episodes. And you can find us on Facebook and now Instagram, Twitter. We're all over the place.
Everywhere on the internet.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.